get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Golhar. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Golhar is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to Think Realty Radio. Now, on the show today, we have my good friend Greg Grand from Renters Warehouse, the CSO of Renters Warehouse. And as you know, whenever Greg is on the air, it's the power play, which means that we're taking listener questions, we're answering listener questions, and of course, we're talking about strategies and, most importantly, markets that you need to know. Now, Greg, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you, Abhi. Great to be here.
You got it. So there's a lot of stuff that happens in news on a very regular basis, right? And I feel like you have a lot of major media that's always been against and betting against the housing market year after year, month after month, saying, holy cow, you know, like it's going to drop. There's going to be a recession. And I want to jump to a listener question real quick, because I think it's a good launching point for a discussion about whether or not there's really going to be a recession in 2020. Jeff from Arizona asks, hey guys, I own a piece of property of undeveloped property, and I can't decide if I should lease it or just sell it. The property is owned in an underdeveloped community that is in the process of being updated, and I'm worried that in the event of a recession, that the updates will be slowed down and I'll lose equity. There's no home located on the property just yet, and it's filled with trees and underbrush. Any thoughts on the next moves to make?
I wish I knew what part of Arizona he's talking about, because that obviously makes a difference. I'm going to assume that it's Phoenix, even though I have no reason to believe that, only because I know that most listeners are going to be in the highly populated areas of Arizona. So we'll go with this from the perspective of Phoenix. A couple of things. One, he's echoing something that we're hearing all over the place, which is that drumbeat in the media of an impending recession is pervasive. And a lot of it is driven by negative housing news. In other words, people are predicting a recession, and they're saying the reason there's going to be one is because the housing market is getting knocked sideways. And so the first thing is that if your perception of an impending recession is based upon those stories, I want you to look more closely at the history of reporting on the housing market. Just the last 12 months has been very instructive, because when the market was doing really well last year around this time, meaning it was strong, values were up, they were saying this is bad news because affordability is down, which is automatic, right? When the stock market goes up, affordability goes down. When the price of a hamburger goes up, the affordability is down. Now, when you own real estate, just like when you own stocks, mm-hmm. and the prices go up, that's usually considered a good thing for the market because it's becoming more valuable, i.e. it's more in demand and the values are increasing. But the media decided that that's a bad thing because that's what they're looking for, as a way to spin some numbers negative. And so as the year rolled on, and we've talked about this before, but you've got different listeners every week, as the year rolled on, that affordability, which was low because the prices were getting higher, turned into what should happen next, which is if buyers can't afford to buy, they won't buy. Or they won't pay the ever-escalating prices. So what happens is home sales begin to decline because buyers aren't buying. That's what's supposed to happen. So the people that were worried in the beginning of the year that affordability was going to cause a crash were actually watching as some of the pressure was being released in the market. Buyers weren't buying as much. Home sales declined, and the sellers had to lower their expectations on what their properties were worth, which is what's supposed to happen when things are operating normally. Right. Mm-hmm. But then when the home sales began to slow down, they said, that's it. We're heading into a crash because now home sales are slowing down, which tells you they don't know that what's supposed to happen after affordability gets too high is that sales slow down. They didn't know that. So if they didn't know that, maybe they're rookies. All right. So let's keep going. Later on in the year, when home sales were slowing down, home prices began to not decline, but just elevate or escalate at a slower rate. So houses were worth more, but they were worth less more.
Yes.
Okay. And you and I laughed at this back. It's not funny because it's actually persuading people to make decisions and maybe make mistakes.
Right.
But it was funny in the third quarter when we said, okay, so when affordability is too high, buyers don't buy, sales slow down, sellers buckle and ask less for the property, and then home sales will begin to increase again.
Right.
And so that was the narrative in the third quarter, was that home sales are down, home prices are slowing down, impending doom. And then, of course, December came along and they said, that's it. Home prices are down in December from November. And now we know that this is all bad news, and they forgot, or they never knew in the first place, that home sales are always down in December. It's called the holidays. Demand lessens and softens because of the holidays and because of the seasonality. People know that's a thing, but apparently those reporters didn't know that it's a thing that affects home prices. So now home prices are popping up again. You know, February numbers are going to be higher than December. It'll be interesting. This is the thing I want your listeners to really think about. If when the home prices go up, when the reports come out that February home prices were up, are they going to compare those prices to November and December? Because back in November, December, they were comparing it to August. All right. So back then, month to month home prices were important when they were going down. Question is going to be, are they going to compare February to last February, which is actually the appropriate thing, or are they going to stick with their methodology of comparing it to December? Because compared to December, it's going to be up. And compared to last February, it's likely to be up, but just not quite as much. So watch for those reports. And if you see them finding a way to spin it negative, let that sink into your brain that, okay, so in a 12-month period, no matter what happens in the housing market, these reporters and these editors reported it as being negative. So if that sinks in, then you say, okay, maybe I shouldn't make investment decisions based upon their advice because they're either painfully ignorant on the subject they're reporting on, which I think is the case in a lot of cases, or they're just trying to go negative, and we can speculate on why that might be.
So it's interesting.
But don't make decisions based on their advice is the point.
Right. And I feel like we're starting to see some turnaround in overall perception of what's going on. Very recently, the chief economist at JP Morgan Chase bet against a recession in 2020. And quite frankly, I'm a little thankful for that. I'm like, all right, cool. Right. Like, now it makes sense. There's some folks that are just accepting what the truth is, in that we have strong indicators. Just because home price appreciation is decreased by, say, 40 or 50% from the previous year doesn't necessarily mean that we're going into a tumble downward.
But think about what you just said, and that's a key. When a lot of people hear home price appreciation declined 50%, they think that means home prices declined. It's the rate of appreciation that went down. So it used to be up 6% a year. Now it's only up 3% a year. When a market is overvalued or affordability is low, that's the appropriate response. But I appreciate not just that the J.P. Morgan Chase economist said that, but when there's somebody whose livelihood and whose company credibility depends upon them being historically correct, right? That's like, right. These reporters, they don't care, right? They have already thrown that away. They make predictions and they make proclamations and they think nobody's paying attention. My livelihood depends upon me being correct. If I sit here and say that I don't see a recession in 2020, in fact, I bet people on that. Nobody took the bet. I love hearing that JP Morgan Chase did the same, because that's a person who says, I'm not going to make my opinion predicated on getting my story picked up in the Google search, right? Because if it bleeds, it leads. And he's also not going to make his prediction based upon who he wants to see win the next election. He's going to make his prediction based upon being right, so that JP Morgan Chase customers profit as a result. I'm the same way. I have to be right. Otherwise, no one's going to listen to me in the future. And so for our friend Jeff in Arizona, what I would say was, I get it. Being concerned about a recession is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He owns a piece of property. It's worth good money. He hasn't improved it yet. He hasn't developed it yet. There's no house on it yet. So we need more time to actually unpack this. Maybe we'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see what kind of trees he has on his land, because there are like a lot of trees that are super profitable to grow as well. So very interesting topics. More listener questions when we come back right here on the Power Play of Think Realty Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
We'll be right back.
Attention real estate investors. Join the nation's top pros in residential and commercial investing in Baltimore at the Think Realty Conference and Expo, April 6th and 7th. Network with industry leaders and service providers and learn how to earn a higher return on your real estate investments. The Think Realty Conference and Expo in Baltimore, April 6th and 7th. Text radio to 96270. That's radio to 96270. Or visit thinkrealty.com/Baltimore to register.
You have to play the percentages when you invest in real estate. Win the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. Whether it's fix and flips as low as 8% or landlord financing starting at 5.5%, Angel Oak Prime Bridge wins with a customer-focused approach to your business. Go to aopbconnect.com to see how you can win at the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. And introducing our new wholesale partner program available at aopbconnect.com. The secret to winning at the percentage game.
Don't miss the Real Estate Note event of the year. The Paper Source Note Symposium is 3 days of learning and networking with the most experienced note investors on the planet. Discover how to buy non-performing and other real estate notes. Meet keynote speaker Eddie Wilson, president of Think Realty Radio, at the Paper Source Note Symposium, April 11th through the 13th in Las Vegas. Visit papersourceseminars.com right now and enter the discount code ThinkRealty for $50 off your ticket. That's papersourceseminars.com.
The key to success in any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders believes that with better resources, you get better results. By visiting the American Association of Private Lenders website, you will find the resources to put more deals together, but better deals. Who doesn't want to improve their bottom line? To find a credible private lending professional, visit AAPLonline.com today.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Avi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Avi Golhar. We are back to the show, the only radio show that you love listening to every single day. We're offering you insights and strategies directly from our experience and exactly what you can do and what maybe you should consider doing to increase your portfolio and, quite frankly, make some money. Before the break, we had Jeff from Arizona ask a question about undeveloped property that he owns, and essentially, this property is filled with trees and underbrush. It doesn't have a home on it, doesn't have any type of building on it. And he's afraid that he's going to lose equity pending a recession in 2020. Greg and I talked about this, and Greg and I both agree that there's not going to be a recession in 2020. Quite frankly, pay attention. Instead, pay attention to where you're getting your news media and information and question their motives and question what they're really selling here. That being said, Greg, just a quick one-liner to sum it all up. What would you suggest Jeff from Arizona does about his undeveloped property?
It's a great question. So if it's undeveloped and it's in a market that is underdeveloped, and what he's worried about is that it sounds like progress is making its way to where this property is, and he's worried that the progress might stop. So if we assume that it's in Phoenix, but it's on the outskirts of Phoenix, if that was the case, I'd say that Phoenix is going to continue to sprawl. It's going to continue to push out from the center. And so the fundamentals on Phoenix are really, really strong. The crazier they get in California, the more they move to Arizona. So even though Arizona's home prices have been volatile, it's really been playing catch up for the best part of the last 10 years. And I don't see it as being overvalued right now. I see it as slowing down. But he's talking about leasing it out. Okay. Now, if he's leasing it out, but it's not got a property, it doesn't have a house on it, he must be talking about leasing the land, and I'm not sure what he means, and I can't ask him because he's not live. So my advice would be to pay close attention to what that development sprawl is actually being driven by. Mm-hmm. If it's core population growth in Phoenix, I feel pretty good about it because that means the outskirts are going to be the least expensive real estate in the market. And what happens in a place like Phoenix, that when the recession hits, just like North Carolina to New York, Phoenix to LA, when the recession hits, it makes people flee New York and LA for places that have a lower cost of living and a higher quality of life. Mm-hmm. And so some markets are fairly recession-proof when it comes to population drive for that reason. And because I don't see Arizona as being overvalued right now, I see it as having only caught up. My advice would be to really develop a thesis on whether the progress that's reaching your doorstep is going to continue for the next 2 years. If that progress is going to continue, I don't see it being stymied by a recession. If the election swings away from the current administration and the people that come into power decide they're going to jack up taxes and increase regulation, that will not be great for business, and it might actually cause a recession. So that's going to be the real wild card for me, is that if we get a drastic change, that could cause a turnaround. But we have some time, thankfully. So I would move quickly, or I would decide to hang on for 10 more years.
And even if, let's say, worst case scenario, there is a recession that's coming our way, 2021, maybe 2022, potentially 2023. If you buy real estate now, if you're thinking and you're listening and you're like, well, okay, I get what you guys are saying, but so here's the but. The but is if you don't make the smart buying decisions now and you don't pay attention to the markets now and you don't buy now, it's only going to get potentially harder. Like Greg is saying, changes in legislation, tax code, et cetera. Now, if you understand the markets that have lift, like the markets that we've been talking about here on the Power Plant Think Realty Radio, and you go into these markets and you really spend time, you develop your team, you put 30% down, you find single family homes, potentially duplexes, tries, quads, and you accumulate and you accumulate, you'll have the cash flow and you'll also have the ability to purchase more, even if there is a recession. So think about that prospect for a second. Don't be scared of a recession if it were to get here. Look at it as a massive opportunity. I mean, you know, hands up, right? Like raise your hand if put your left hand on your driving wheel, right? On your steering wheel if you're driving, and raise your hand if you feel like you should have purchased more property in 2008, 9, 10, 11. Of course. 2020, hindsight is 2020, 100% of the time. So that's what's going to happen the next time around, and the next time around, and the next time around. That's how the rich get rich, and the rich stay rich.
Yeah, and you try to stay nimble with your strategy, but you have one thing that always keeps you safe, and that is that if you've got a 20-40 threshold on this, if you buy property in Arizona in a place that's near a population center, and we do go into a recession, and I'm wrong, and the guy from JP Morgan Chase is wrong, and we have a recession in 2020, as long as you don't have to sell in 2020, you're okay. Mm-hmm. All right? Just get it into your head that if the market turns against you, just hang on. But again, he doesn't have a house on this property. So that advice is predicated on being able to generate income along the way. So actually, the best advice for Jeff is turn that thing into an income-producing property or sell it and put the money into an income-producing property, because then even if the value flattens out or, heaven forbid, declines, you're making income along the way, it will come back.
Totally agreed. Totally agreed. And you absolutely want to make sure that it's cash flowing, right? I totally agree. If it's not cash, it's like a stock that pays a dividend. If it's not paying a dividend, why are you buying it? I mean, and quite frankly, right, I'm not even in the stock game, right? So if I were to be in the stock game, I would want to make sure that it's paying a dividend. The same thing with single-family rentals. You want to make sure.
Yeah, well, real estate's got expenses associated.
Yeah.
Unlike a stock, you've got expenses associated with a piece of real estate. So you're going to pay taxes. You're going to pay upkeep. And so it's important to generate the income. Without the income, half the equation is a zero. And so you don't want that. So I would make sure that thing's generating income and then make your decision from there.
Point well taken. For me, real estate, income-producing real estate is a business. If you don't treat it as such, you're going to go bankrupt. It's that simple. Let's do the next question here before we go to break. Man, I'm having a fantastic time with answering these questions today. It's great. Dwayne from Alabama, I'm looking to move into multifamily investments, and I don't have the experience to acquire a 30-unit plus apartment building with the loan requirements of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loan programs. Is this the requirement for private lenders as well? I'm looking for passive investors as well as acquiring multi-units annually. I'm working on a couple of fourplexes to tackle the experience deficiency of the loan approval process. Any advice would be great. And we have about a minute and a half before we go to break.
Well, I'm really happy that he said what he said at the end, because what I heard him say are private lenders going to require the same kind of experiences for Fannie and Freddie. Some people understand Fannie and Freddie require you to be an experienced landlord before you qualify for their loans. Their loans are very low cost, i.e. low rates, low payments, but you have to have experience. Building that experience is worth doing. Fourplexes is a great way to get there. Okay. I love small multifamily. Okay. I'm a big believer in these 2, 3, and 4. I like single family the best, but if he wants to get into multifamily, that's his strategy. Private lenders probably are going to charge you too much and have a short-term expectation to be paid back, and you could get caught flat-footed. So I'd rather see you buy a fourplex, buy another fourplex, buy another fourplex, build up your experience, and then roll those into that 30-unit apartment building if you want to, or you might decide that 4 fourplexes in the same neighborhood gets it done for you, and it's more granular. So I think that's the right plan, is get the loans you can get at low cost from long-term financing lenders, and then build your way into qualifying for Fannie and Freddie stuff, because once you get that, you've now got a badge of honor that's going to serve you really well in the long term.
And I mean, perfectly timed. We've got to go to break now. Gee whiz, I love this show. And Greg Rand's just a completely awesome guy. All right. If you want to get in touch with Greg, it's super easy to do it. You can find him anywhere online, especially on LinkedIn. He's been doing awesome videos lately as well. So make sure you reach out. If you want to get in touch with me, super easy. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com. You can also pick up a copy of Think Realty Magazine at your local Barnes and Noble. We got to go to break. More listener questions and thoughts about Alabama when we come back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
National Real Estate Insurance Group is the industry leader in providing coverage customized for investors. We insure occupied, vacant, and renovation properties across all 50 states, can combine all properties on one schedule, and offer convenient pay-as-you-go monthly billing. Visit NREIG.com today for your free custom proposal. That's National Real Estate Insurance Group at NREIG.com or call 888-741-8454, 888-741-8454.
Where are successful investors turning for the latest news, trends, and insights in real estate? Think Realty Magazine. Sign up for your investor-level membership at thinkrealty.com today to start receiving Think Realty Magazine delivered to your door and inbox every month. Boost your competitive advantage with news from the nation's leading investors, market updates, the hottest investment strategies, and more. Take the next step toward building more wealth. Sign up today at thinkrealty.com.
Real Estate Notes give you immediate cash flow without tenants, repairs, or property taxes. With PaperSourceOnline.com, you buy a note, you become the banker, you decide how much interest you'll earn, and bankers never get phone calls from tenants. How do you get started? Take the free e-course by Bill Mancaro of The Paper Source. Bill's been buying notes for over 30 years. Bill has the heart of a teacher and wants you to succeed. Sign up for Bill's free e-course now at PaperSourceOnline.com. That's PaperSourceOnline.com.
Savvy investors make use of smart savings. Think Realty Radio listeners, you have the opportunity to save smart with Sherwin-Williams Paint. Sign up for your free Think Realty membership now and activate discounts to save up to 50% off of select Sherwin-Williams Paint. Rehabbers, investors, property managers, this is your opportunity to save big for your next project. Start saving up to 50% now. Go to thinkrealty.com/paint and then click discounts.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
We're back, Think Realty Nation. It's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to Think Realty Radio. If you're just joining us, my good friend Greg Rand is on the air. He's from Renters Warehouse, Chief Strategy Officer over there. Check him out, RentersWarehouse.com. And he is very much a regular contributor to the show. Every week we have this segment, which is the Power Play on Think Realty Radio. We share some ideas and strategies and market news and what we feel is really happening in the market. And of course, answering your questions. So if you have a question, you'd like us to analyze it and answer it right here on Think Realty Radio, go to thinkrealtyradio.com. On the right side, punch in your information, your question, and all the other as much detail, all the other detail that you can give us about your deal or your question, and we'll answer it right here on the show for you. That being said, before the break, we answered a question about Alabama. Specifically, Dwayne from Alabama had asked about multifamily and getting in touch with private lenders, etc. But I want to take maybe just 2 minutes, Greg, and offer our thoughts on Alabama. I know we did a full show on Birmingham and Huntsville and Montgomery, Alabama, and I also know that you're a huge fan of Huntsville, and you're also a huge fan of Montgomery, specifically because it's a blue city, red state. Can you help me identify, just real quick, recap why Huntsville and recap why blue city, red state matters to you?
Sure. Well, Huntsville, because the auto industry has set up shop there. So Mercedes-Benz did 20 years ago, and then that's been an anchor to that market. It's a small market, but it has a very strong manufacturing base and business base there. And then it got validated again when a JV between Toyota and I think it's Toyota, but somebody and Mazda are building a big plant there, which reinforces that it wasn't a one-off deal with Mercedes. So that's a small city that, you know, when you have a small city, you have the potential for the city to increase in population by 50 to 100% over a 10 or 15 year window. And that is amazing if you own real estate there. The population trend is just so much in your favor. I like Alabama overall. So all the cities in Alabama, you mentioned Montgomery, this idea of a red state and the state capital of a red state, that's a state capital where government is going to be the primary driver of the economy. Mm-hmm. And when you have government being, like if you had Albany or Sacramento, it might concern me because in blue states, the state governments tend to get bloated. And then there's always a day of reckoning someday. I don't know when it's going to happen, but you know, I think in terms of decades long hold periods. So if the chickens are going to come home to roost in California, it's going to make Sacramento suffer as a result. Same thing in New York. So when that reckoning happens, it's going to be slash the government. A new regime will come in and they will slash the government, and that could take some toll on the real estate demand in that area. But if you get a red state where they're more frugal, they tend to not spend all the money. You know, listen, this is not a political statement one way or the other. It's just a reality that when you get a red state, but you get the blue city in that red state, blue cities tend to be cooler than red cities, right? Think Raleigh versus Charlotte. People in Raleigh are pretty sure it's cooler. Think Austin versus Dallas. People in Austin are definitely sure they think it's cooler. They get a different vibe to them. So the culture is different. The draw is different. More young people come in. It's just an interesting dichotomy between being a hip city with a government-driven economy in a red state where the government is actually efficiently run and usually runs some kind of a surplus. Not in Alabama right now, but still, they're not running a massive deficit. But overall, the play in Alabama that gets me the most excited is that it is a southern state that is the last one. Alabama and Mississippi are the two last southern states to catch on. And when I say catch on, I mean become a destination for people in the upper Midwest, think Chicago, New York, the Northeast, and California. Those people in those very expensive, colder, highly taxed areas are getting out of there, and they're going to Texas, and they're going to Florida. Then they'd be going to Georgia. Then they'd be going to the Carolinas next. Yeah. And then they've been going to Tennessee, right? So pretty much every place else in the South and Southeast have become massive migration destinations for people in colder and more expensive areas. And Alabama has resisted that trend because the folks in Alabama didn't want to embrace a bunch of Yankees coming down into their town. The secret is getting out.
Right.
And I think what you're going to see in Alabama overall and all the population centers, you're going to see something similar to what happened in a lot of the Florida cities and a lot of the Texas cities over the next 30 years.
So you have a lot of migration too, especially say from California to Austin, to Dallas, to some of these cities where now you're starting to see more of a tech hub, more of a startup scene. Can you talk to that real quick as well before we move on to the next listener question? More specifically, say San Antonio or Dallas or Austin. There's a lot of tech. There's a lot of boom there, not necessarily just the oil for what Texas is known for. How is this migration affecting these cities? Is it a positive movement or a negative movement?
Oh, yeah, it's massively positive. So that's the cultural shift that turns into a magnet for migration and population growth. You just got to always keep in mind that this is a very simple asset class. People like to live indoors, and people with kids like to have dogs and swing sets. And so single family homes becomes a root instrument through which you buy the town. All right. So if the town is located in a city and a state, my specialty has always been not finding a deal that's a cheap house. I find a deal that is a cheap town. Okay. Because like Texas is, you know, you mentioned Texas, right? Mm-hmm. So Texas is just crazy popular right now. Companies are digging up their, they're picking up stakes and moving down to Texas and bringing jobs with them for the quality of life, cost of living, and business friendly climate. When the jobs go, the people follow, right? Mm-hmm. So within every one of these major cities in Texas, you already have the Texas lift. And so you already have, like in this case, you asked about San Antonio. Dallas has been on fire in a good way. So has Austin. So has Houston. San Antonio is trailing a little bit, which I like because the fundamentals are still there. Things happen in order, okay? They don't all happen every place at the same time.
Right.
Different parts of these states, different parts of the towns within a metro area catch on in different orders. And so when you can see that, let's say the Eastern, and I don't know this about San Antonio, but San Antonio is behind Houston, Austin, and Dallas in terms of its appreciation run, okay? It's only beginning right now. San Antonio, within San Antonio, we got to go down there and find this. We can look and turn over some rocks and ask some questions, and we're going to find out which part of town just got a new hospital, which part of town just got a new train station, which part of town just had a new school that got approved. It's going to build a school for 5,000 students, and therefore the developers are going to circle around there, right? Mm-hmm. There are indicators of long-term population growth and demand that are happening all the time, that you could follow the herd and go to this part of town, or you could say, like literally, they just added a new exit on the highway. There was a 10-mile stretch between exit 42 and 43. They're adding exit 42A. That means right around 42A, there's going to be a little cluster of commercial development around the exit, and it has a chance of making the housing around that exit more valuable because wherever the folks from there are going to commute to, it just got easier. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's the common sense thing. Think about people, what drives them, what's been driving them, what's likely to drive them in the future, and then place your bets in the path of that progress. And then buy the nicest house. That's my advice. Buy the nicest house you can for the money you have to spend, because I can't deal with heavy repairs. I don't want anything to do with that. I can't deal with high vacancy. Right. I want it to be as easy of an investment as possible. And I use my intuition and the data and the research to figure out which places are going to, where the rent's going to get paid, the place is going to stay occupied, the rent's going to go up, and the value is going to go up faster than neighboring areas. That's the winning formula for me.
Yeah, and let's be honest too, Greg. I mean, I think if you and I tried to lift anything over 15 pounds, we'd end up throwing out our back. That's the real reason why we invest in nice homes. All right, we got to go to break.
Speak for yourself, Avi.
We got to go to break. Last 10 minutes of Think Realty Radio is coming right up. We have two more listener questions that I want to get through, and then we'll just rock on talking about markets and strategies and what you need to know to be a success. Be right back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Avi Golhar after these messages. Attention real estate investors. Join the nation's top pros in residential and commercial investing in Baltimore at the Think Realty Conference and Expo, April 6th and 7th. Network with industry leaders and service providers and learn how to earn a higher return on your real estate investments. The Think Realty Conference and Expo in Baltimore, April 6th and 7th. Text radio to 96270. That's radio to 96270. Or visit thinkrealty.com/Baltimore to register.
Hi, Kevin Ortner here, CEO of Renters Warehouse. I'm guessing that many of you might be considering a move. Maybe you need to relocate, maybe you're combining households, or maybe you already own investment property. Whether you have one home or a whole portfolio, my expert team at Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent it out fast, easy, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. For one low flat monthly fee, our professional landlords will manage your property 24/7. We collect the rent, we handle maintenance requests, inspections, all that regulatory red tape, and we'll even warranty our tenants for up to 18 months. That means if your tenant doesn't stay for any reason, Renters Warehouse will replace them for free. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price analysis and see what your home will rent for today. A professional landlord will visit your property and show you personally how to rent your home fast and for top dollar.
Find out how much your home will rent for. Renters Warehouse. Renterswarehouse.com.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage them. Narada Real Estate Investments saves you time by providing you with professionally managed income properties in the best U.S. markets. Learn more at PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and download your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
All right, Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. We're back to Think Realty Radio in the last 10 minutes of the show. My good friend Greg Rand's on the air, and it's the Power Play, where we talk about insights and market strategies and everything you need to know to be successful with real estate investing. That being said, we have a couple more listener questions to rock through here. The first one is Shay from San Antonio, Texas. Shay asks, I'm a newbie looking to close my first deal. For the past 6 months, I've been doing my research, going to meetups, networking, and actively searching for realistic deals. But I can't seem to find anything that is in my budget and or interests. Is there something else that I should be doing? Am I missing something? I'd love to snag my first deal. Greg, thoughts?
I love that question because, you know, I like to try to redefine what a deal is. Okay, so we just talked about San Antonio in the last segment. San Antonio, of all the major cities in Texas, it's the one that's developing last, meaning the real estate market has not been on fire. It's been very, very strong, but of late, it's been gradual. So if I look at my 20-year chart on San Antonio, it started out, it kind of resisted most of the real estate boom. Therefore, it didn't suffer most of the real estate bust. It kind of held its own, and it's been rising at a nice gradual pace where the national average is 3.4%. The average of Bexar County, which is a big part of San Antonio, is 3.7. Mm-hmm. So just a little better than the national average. And I like that. I like it because I think that means that San Antonio is due. Because what happens is people, businesses, investors, they look at Dallas and go, I feel like I missed it. Mm-hmm. I hear it every day, right? I love Nashville, but I feel like, you know, I missed the big run up in Nashville. Just like people think with stocks, right? Yeah, I missed the run, but find me something that's about to run. I think San Antonio is a strong bet as a market that's going to run the way Dallas, Austin, and Houston did, which was pretty substantial. So if that's the case, I would redefine Shay's definition of what a deal is, not by finding somebody who wants to sell you a house for less than it's worth, but simply getting a fair price on a house, a good house, one that will be in demand in a place in San Antonio that's likely to get outsized return. So for example, typical house in San Antonio might return you a 6% yield, mm-hmm. right? So that's after you collect your rents, pay all your expenses, you wind up with a 6% return on your money. That's pretty nice. And you're getting a 3.5% to 4% return on the appreciation every year. So you're seeing a very simple 10% return compounded year after year after year. Isn't that wonderful? But what if you could get 6% in price appreciation because you picked a place, a part of San Antonio where a big employer just went in, right? We find these everywhere we look. You go looking around and start saying, okay, so what announcements have been made where they're expanding a business, an employer has broken ground on a new headquarters, a university is expanding, something that's going to require people, mm-hmm. something that's going to attract jobs. And then if it's a big employer, those have a way of being like the center of a solar system. They come in, and then around them spins the planets and the moons and the satellites that create more and more and more demand for real estate, because everybody who works there has got to live someplace. And I'm a big believer in the residential real estate, as you know. So I'd be interested, and we have to dig in on San Antonio and start doing some of that research to try to find out, and maybe your listeners can actually come onto the site and give us some input. What's happening in San Antonio, where we know the overall market is doing well, but show me the pockets where there's some story that if you have your ear to the ground, you know about, that is going to give you an indication that market's going to pop a little more than the rest of the city. And then you've got the overall lift of San Antonio and the whole state of Texas working for you. But then you have a little extra coming in because of that human intelligence that you uncovered.
And sometimes this human intelligence can really turn into just doing a quick Google search, right? So for example, one of the many methods that I like to use to do research on a market, especially if I'm jumping in there, is very simple. I'm going to go to Google Alerts. You go to google.com/alerts and type in this case, we're answering a question from San Antonio. San Antonio jobs, San Antonio crime, San Antonio real estate, San Antonio any keyword, and you get that information once a week. You don't need to get it once a day. You have different options on when Google will send you this information and anything that hits this specific keyword. But now you're learning more about the market, and you're smarter for it.
Yeah, like here, I just did that, okay? So first thing I did, San Antonio approves. San Antonio approves is my search. First article, San Antonio approves $5.7 million in incentives to, you ready? The East Side Tech Center. Okay, mm-hmm. Now what's the East Side Tech Redevelopment Project? Okay, it's a big, gross-looking old factory that apparently is getting $5.7 million worth of incentives to redevelop it. And it looks like it's in a tough part. There's actually railroad tracks going right by it, so it's on the wrong side of the tracks.
Yep.
Yet it just got $5.7 million in incentives. I would want to learn more about that. And I would want to go outside of there and see what they're saying is military medical research facility, commercial lab and office space, business incubator, hotel, and food services. All right, so there you go. One research showed that the east side, what's on the east side, right? I would dig it even further. And just like, you know, we've been talking about Charlotte and my own investment plan in Charlotte, where one of the towns that I picked has a train station that was maybe going to go in. Well, since the last time you and I spoke, they approved it. The gavel fell, right? It's now approved. I didn't act fast enough to buy before the gavel fell, which means I might have gotten a better deal a month ago, but now I know it's coming, all right? And I may pay a slight premium over a couple of months ago because the word is out the train station's coming in, but I also don't think most investors know how important it is to drive an eighth of a mile or a half a mile to the train station, and then you're in downtown Charlotte in the Bank of America Tower in 18 minutes on light rail for cheap, right? So I know that right. Because I'll be holding that this thing is going to be a retirement fund for me, so this is going to be a 20-year hold. That's the kind of stuff. San Antonio approves, and then read all the stories and find out what just got a government approval and maybe some funding, and look into investing around that.
I love that San Antonio approved. So you go to Google Alerts, and if you're looking at, say, Detroit, Michigan, or Indianapolis, Indiana, just go to Indianapolis approves as a search, and anything that comes up, you'll automatically be emailed, right? Like, that's how you use technology to your benefit and to win the game. And then you fly there, right? Fly there, go there. Worst case, make a bunch of phone calls, speak with some city officials, speak with the committees, and find out.
Dude, they just approved, San Antonio approves redevelopment of Alamo Plaza, a $450 million renovation of the Alamo. Now, I see that, and the first thing I think is, what city in America has got $450 million to renovate anything? I want to dig in and see what kind of surplus they have there. Now, that first thing, that tells me either they're running such an efficient city that they have the ability to take their crown jewel landmark and put that kind of money into it, or they're being run by knuckleheads who are spending more than they have. I would want to know which one it is. Mm-hmm. And if it's the former, because they're doing so well that they know they want to keep their crown jewel in good condition, that just tells me that whoever's running that town is doing a great job. That's another reason to want to invest there. So that little search of of San Antonio approves has turned up two things in the first two stories that are both compelling.
That's right. All right. I think we have time for one more listener question. It's going to have to go fast, though. You ready?
Yeah.
Jacqueline from Colorado. I think she's from Denver, too. Aspen. Roughly about 12 minutes from Aspen. Question. My husband and I have a vacation home that we bought in 2010. We're 12 minutes away from the major ski resorts in Aspen, Colorado. The house is worth a lot more than what we bought it for. My neighbor has their home rented out for about 90% of the year, and I'm thinking this could be a great source of extra income, but we want to buy another vacation home. We are torn. How do we determine if selling it would be a better option than renting it out? Can you guys break this down? And I don't know if we have enough time to do it.
Yeah, I'll do it in 5 seconds. The question is rent it out for 50% of the time and vacation it at the other 50% of the time.
Yep, I like
it. Or sell it and do the same thing wherever you buy. If you can make a lot of money in by renting it when you're not there, that's always a good idea. If you want to enjoy it, you can do that as well.
And then take the 50% of the time that you are renting it out and use that income as a down payment for another home and do that same thing over and over and over. Just rinse and repeat. And now all of a sudden you have three properties or four properties in the same area or around the country that you can just vacation at all the time. I like it.
Awesome.
Well, Greg, that's the show. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. What's the best way that our listeners can reach out to you?
Oh, go to renterswarehouse.com, check me out on LinkedIn, or just email me, grand@renterswarehouse.com.
And here I thought it was superman@renterswarehouse.com, or are you competing with Kevin on that? Okay, gotcha.
It's Thor. Just you. Thor at renterswarehouse.com. Gotcha.
grand@renterswarehouse.com. All right. Got to go, but doesn't mean that your journey to real estate investing stops here. Head on over to thinkrealtyradio.com. Ask your questions. We'll answer it right here on the Power Play next time on Think Realty Radio. See ya.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Videos, articles, podcasts, insights, everything you need to create more for your future right at your fingertips. Think Realty Radio, a real estate of mind, online at thinkrealtyradio.com.